We've been praying for you folks as well there. We appreciate it.
Oh, my. Thank you.
And our people said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Eastridge. God bless you. Even today when I got home, I went on Facebook and there is a opening where you can go and look at churches without pastors. And they sent out five churches in different states that have their building paid for. They have 15 to 20 attending. One in Michigan, two in Pennsylvania, one in New York, one in West Virginia, and I think there was one in Texas that they're looking for a pastor. And they're looking for someone, but they can't pay a pastor full time. Not one of them could do that, but they say the church could become self-supporting if someone would come in and really, really go for it. And it's amazing what is going on in our country. And we need to be praying that God would send up and raise up some young people that's willing to take over. Now, I know for the last week before last, I think that BIMI had 64 prospective missionaries in Camp Bemi. And this week, I think there is 58 that's missionary training. These are young people who feel that the Lord has called them into missions. And I hope that many of them are interested in rescuing churches that are struggling and not able to have a pastor without some support from outside. So please, we need to be praying for these things, because it was in the 70s when churches were really, really growing. You never heard of a church that went without a pastor for a while, but boy, it's sure changed since then. And so let's be praying for that. Well, last Wednesday night, we talked about some of the blessings of being a committed soul winner. Now, there is a difference between being a witness and being a consistent or committed soul winner. I know I told you exactly when God spoke to my heart and he said, you need to be a committed soul winner. I looked on Facebook and one of the ladies that was saved in our church back in 1972 said that I said this, and I don't remember saying it, but she said that I said one time, I do not feel like that I have accomplished anything unless I had talked to someone or led somebody to Christ every day of my life. And I want to do that, and it's sometimes a little bit difficult. So what you do, you take gospel tracts along and just leave them everywhere and give them to people. Even last night when we got into Atlanta, I knew I wasn't going to make it from, I think it was 38 to 2 of jetways, and I knew that I wasn't going to make that. And so I asked a man, and he just reached over and got one. He's one of the workers there. And he pushed me down there. And so I had an opportunity to witness to him. He is from Columbus, Georgia, and he'd come to Atlanta to work. And he said, I don't go to church now. I think I went to church when I've heard that so much till it's just so much of that. I went to church when I was a youngster, but somehow I just drifted away from it. And I asked him if he sure he knew if he died, he'd go to heaven. Well, he said, I'm not really sure. I, And so by that time, we got to the place where I was to get off, and I got up and I wanted to give him a tip. And he said he didn't want it. And I kept trying. And finally, my wife said, well, why don't you give him a gospel tract? And I said, I got one. So I gave him a gospel tract. And I told him, I said, listen, I want you to read that and understand clearly about there's only one way that a person can go to heaven, and that's through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And he went away, and I thought about him all the way to Chattanooga. I just hope he'll take some time, maybe a break or something, to spend some time reading that gospel tract, and they'll come to know Jesus as Savior. Last Wednesday night, we talked about seven blessings of being a committed soul winner. We got down to the seventh one, and we stopped. And I mentioned the fact that a committed soul winner will earn the soul winner's crown, which is described in the Bible as a crown of rejoicing. And that's recorded in Paul's first letter to the church at Thessalonica. And he wrote these words, "For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." And this is a reward that's offered to committed soul winners. You say, well, Brother Lilly, is there two types? Well, no, they should. Every Christian should be committed to the Lord to be a soul winner. That is, witnessing to people with every effort that you can, and getting up in the morning and saying, Lord, lead me to some soul today, and Lord, teach me what to say. And there are people around us that are lost in sin. They can't find their way, and we need to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for them. And so we ought to be everybody, and if that's the job of every Christian. We've been told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And since we are told to go in, and that means we are to do that. And so this is a reward offered to soul winners. Rewards are spoken of in the New Testament under the figure of crowns, which will be gained or lost according to our faithfulness or otherwise. So it's quite definitely a reward for being a soul winner. Question: does it make any difference whether we obey the Great Commission and seek to win souls or whether we do not? Well, that's not really a choice. But notice, if you will, if you're taking notes, notice there are some future rewards for being a soul winner. It definitely makes a difference to souls who will either be lost or saved according to our faithfulness or unfaithfulness. It is a dreadful possible to fail those around us by upholding from the truth and not telling them about their soul's destination. Every time I think about this, I think about some 3 or 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, my nephew's wife, who I had the privilege of leading to the Lord. In fact, she was under conviction, and my nephew said, well, I know somebody can tell you how to be saved, and they drove all the way from Monroe, Louisiana, and got to my house, knocked on the door, and my nephew said, my wife needs to be saved, and would you talk to her? And well, about 15, 20 minutes later, she prayed and asked the Lord to save her. She got a real burden for her family. She is from this area. And she called me one day and she said, my grandfather is in the hospital. He's dying. And would you go and visit him and would you tell him about how to be saved? I said, well, I'll be glad to. So After work at BIMI, I drove home and went to the Erlanger Hospital. I found his room number and went to see him. I knocked on the door, and there's somebody answered the door. And I asked, could I see him? And he said, yes. And when I said that, there were 8 or 9 people in the room. And all of them walked out, and it was kind of alarming to me that they would all walk out. I couldn't figure it out. So I thought, well, maybe I should come back later and visit with him. So I had prayer with him, and I walked out. I had no idea that my niece had told those people to walk out where I could speak to him alone about his soul. The next day he died. And that's some things that really challenges us in the area of being consistent and speaking to everyone. You never know. You never know what's going to happen in their lives. And so we need to be faithful in soul winning. It definitely makes a difference to souls who will either be lost or saved according to our faithfulness or unfaithfulness. Then secondly, it definitely makes a difference to other souls who might have been won through those whom we have won to the Lord. Now, if you go on Facebook and you look under the name Joyce Sepulveda, she was at this meeting this last Sunday. And there must have been, I guess, maybe close to 200 people, a little over 200 people in the service. And they were, I think they had a lily section where about 15 lilies set. And they were about the other groups that were there were people who had heard that I was coming, and they wanted to come and meet us. And so one of the ladies that came was Mrs. Joyce Sepulveda. Mrs. Joyce Sepulveda was a Roman Catholic. She had never attended any other church but the Catholic Church. She lived down the road there on Barron Road, and one of our buses went along the road and picked up people along there. And every Saturday, Carl and Mary, a couple who met on the buses. In fact, they married, and one drove the bus, and the other was the bus director. Carl drove the bus, and Miss Mary went door to door, and he would go with her and that's how they dated on the bus. And so every Saturday, Miss Joyce Sepulveda told me that about 9:30, a quarter to 10, bang, 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 bang on the door. And she said, it just got unreal. And she said, I got bothered about it because she said, I wasn't going to church. And so she went to have her hair done, and the hairdresser was a Christian. And she said, you know, there's been some people visiting me from Barron Road Baptist Church, and they want me to come to church and ride the bus. And she said, this lady said, well, are you really, if you were to die right now, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? And she said, no, I wouldn't. And she said, would you like to know? And so this hairdresser led her to Christ. And then next Sunday, her and her two little children rode the bus to Sunday school. And that day, she made a profession of faith in Christ. And I want to tell you, that lady just got on fire. And her husband, who was a Roman Catholic, was lost and never did would respond to the gospel until we had an evangelistic services. And Brother Bruce Foster, who is a former coach at Tennessee Temple, came and preached. And we made an announcement that at before the Sunday night service, he was going to be speaking on creation. And so she went home and told her husband, and he came, and as a result of that, he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. So you never know. You just have to be very, very alert. And then can you imagine all the people that she has witnessed to? And she used to go, she would go back to her hometown where the Roman Catholic Church was, and she witnessed to the Catholic priest and told him that, why did you tell me how to be saved? She said, now I'm saved. Have you ever been saved? And he couldn't even answer her. And so anyway, you'd be surprised what can happen. And I am thankful for the dear lady that got saved, that came to my house and took me to Sunday school. Somebody told her how to be saved. So supposing our Lord had not testified and won to himself the woman at the well, it is too much to presume that the many that's recorded there on the right-hand side in the Scofield Bible, it in Samaria, who came to the Lord through her testimony, would come to him. Would Lydia's household have been saved if Lydia had not been? Or suppose Edward Kimball, a Sunday school teacher up in Boston, Massachusetts, never cared for his Sunday school class, but that he cared so much that he went to the shoe store where one of his students was working and witnessed to him and then talked to him, and they went back into a private room and D.L. Moody got saved. Can you imagine the people that have been saved as a result of Edward Kimball's testimony? Just suppose that. Just suppose he decided not to. And then thirdly, it definitely makes a difference to the Lord himself. Consider this statement. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall hear their iniquities or bear their iniquities. Isaiah 53:11. And then it should be definitely make a difference to you and me. Amen? Because somebody told me how to be saved. There's a couple who were cousins that were out on visitation, and they met a young man and invited him to church, and that young man got saved. And that was the person who just spoke to you a few minutes ago, Brother Eastridge. Brother Thompson and his cousin, who is now, that cousin is now Brother Eastwood's Ridge's wife. And so he got saved, went off to Pensacola, and went into ministry full time. Can you imagine? What if they had decided, well, listen, let's go do something else. Saturday's our only day, and we that's the only day we have free, and so let's just not go on visitation. Are you all following me, what I'm saying? I mean, every situation ought to be an opportunity for you and me to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus. It affects us in the matter of not only rewards, and if anyone thinks that rather a greedy motive, then we should remember that that it is God himself who has told us that we should be witnesses. And his word teaches clearly that there will be rewards in the future for those who commit themselves to winning souls to Christ. And this being so, we his children and his servants should seek to gain them, and we should either gain them, and we will, or we will lose them. First, for us, the first reward that awaits us is the Lord's commendation and the joy and the honor that will accompany it. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, you'll notice that the reward the Lord promised is for faithfulness. Faithfulness. Carl and Mary Roberts, I don't think they ever missed a Saturday for at least 4 or 5 years of going on visitation. and inviting people to come to church. Some years ago, I was in Walkertown, North Carolina. There's a church there that has probably 75 buses going all over that area around the Walkertown area, bringing people to church. I was speaking to one of the older men who came by the booth when I was representing BIMI there, and he said he'd been a member of the church for about 45 years. Older fellow. He said, I've had a bus route for 42 years. My wife and I took a bus, and away we went, picking up kids, talking to people about the Lord, and trying to witness to them, and bringing them to church where they get to say. And he said, I've been on this same route for 42 years. Did you know I am bringing grandchildren of people who rode my bus? I could not believe that. There's a fellow that has been faithful. Whether we have met with much of our little success in our work, it's not the point. The point is, we've been faithful. And you know, I tell everybody, some preachers get up and they tell about all the people they won to the Lord, but they never mention the fact that most of the people you talk to today don't get saved. They just take a gospel track, or you just have to put it in the hands of the Lord and let it go from there. And so we don't, the reward of our Lord will give us is for faithfulness in witnessing to the Lord. The value of our work will only ever be seen in true perspective at the judgment seat of Christ. You never know what that gospel tract's going to do. And then secondly, for us, the second reward will be what awaits us is the thrill of meeting those who have been blessed and won to the Lord through our ministry. I would be willing to say that in this church last Sunday, there was at least 20 adult people who were saved in the church when I pastored there in the early 70s. One of them I didn't remember. He said, surely you remember me leading me to Christ, Brother Lilly. I said, I am so sorry. His name was Sonny Matthews. And I said, I don't remember. He said, don't you know where I lived? And he told me where I lived. I said, I remember the house. I remember everything, but I don't remember ever telling you how to be saved. But he said, I got saved and you led me to Christ. And then a fellow that sat on the front, he looked at me. I know he must be in his early 60s now. His name is Joe Stewart. Joe is a brother, older brother, of Shreva Stewart. Y'all remember me telling about Shreva? But Shreva didn't come. Joe said he had told her to come, and she ought to have been there. But Joe came over from his church just to say hello, and he said, Brother Lilly, did you remember leading our entire family to the Lord? My mother, my dad, my brother Jeff, and my sister. I said, I sure do, Joe. And he sat there with his Bible, took notes from the sermon, and we just had a glorious time talking to him. And so but even though I may not have ever met them or ever got to see them 50 years later, there would be joy when I get to heaven and I turn around and there they stand, because we had the opportunity to lead them to Christ. And so we need to keep that in mind always as we think about what the eternal value of leading people to Christ. And thirdly, for us, the third reward that awaits us is the rare privilege that may be ours of placing some lost soul at the Savior's feet. Now, we have only touched upon the thrilling subject, but before we go any further, I want you to turn with me to Psalm 126. And I think that was in my Bible when I left the house. Psalm 126. Now watch this, if you will. And this passage of scripture was Dr. Rice's favorite passage. Look at verse 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, what does it go on to say? Bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again. What it was, come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves, that's the fruit of his work, with him. Amen? Now, I want us to notice, secondly, some of our, not only our first future rewards, but our present rewards. First, there is a present reward which comes from doing the work. How many of you ever go out on visitation and somebody got saved? Would you raise your hand? I've been on visitation, and as I visited, somebody accepted Christ as their personal Savior. Now, you cannot. There is no way you can describe the joy when you go into home. I remember Gerald Davis and I were out visiting, and we went into a living district, and we went down to the end of the, and we met, we were visiting a man whose wife had been attending our church, and she had been saved, and she had been telling me over and over again that I should go by and visit her husband, who was a businessman. And so he and I went to visit, and we knocked on the door, and the man answered the door, and his wife spoke to us, and she excused herself and went to the kitchen because she knew that we were going to be talking with her husband. We sat on the couch, we began to talk, and I told him, I said, "You ever go to church much?" He said, "No, sir." I said, "If you die right now, do you know if you were sure you'd go?" He said, "I really don't know." I said, "Would you like to know?" He said, "Yes, sir, I really would." So I gave him the plan of salvation. And Gerald sat there as a silent partner. I think that's what he wanted to be, because Gerald never talked much. But we sat there and talked, and lo and behold, this man, when I got to the point, I said, "Now, you understand you're a sinner?" "Yes, sir." "Understand if you die, you go to hell?" "Yes." "You understand that Jesus died on the cross for your sin and rose again and ascended to heaven?" He said, "Yes, sir, I believe that." I said, "Would you like to pray and ask the Lord to save you?" He said, "I sure would." So he bowed his head and trusted Christ as his Savior. We talked to him about being baptized, and we gave him some verses of assurance. And we walked back to the car. We got in the car, and boy, I was just fit to... I mean, I was just having a spiritual fit. Well, we got in the car, and he sat there very quiet, and he started crying. He said, "Brother Lily, I'd give anything in this world if I could do that." Here's something that I just thought was something natural, but to him, that was going to take a lot of effort to speak to somebody about their soul. God help us to be faithful, faithful, faithful to the Lord. So I want you to know, present reward, it's just of doing the work. Just a reward of knowing that you are doing what God has told you to do. Secondly, there is peace and joy that comes through obedience. The happiest people in the world are those who obey the Lord and are following him. Let me ask you this question. Do you have a clear conscience regarding your responsibility to the lost? You know, there are the reflex benefits that come to the soul winner. Benefits that come to us while we are involved in the Lord's work. We are just being obedient to what God tells us to do. And then lastly, there is a present reward in the gratitude of those we influence and win to the Lord. Have you ever had anybody come up and thank you for leading them to the Lord? Some years ago, I was preaching in Morristown, Tennessee. I gave a testimony that I was from Louisiana. And after the service, church service over, a young lady walked up to me and she said, "Do you know anything about the Barron Road Baptist Church in the South Shreveport area?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I do." "Do you know a bus captain and his girlfriend by the name of," he called him Brother Butch, "and Jeannie?" I said, "Yes, I do. I know them. I led both of them to Christ and baptized them." And she said, "Well, when I was 11 years old, she picked me up. They picked me up on the bus and took me to church and I got saved." I said, "Did you go forward?" She said, "I did." I said, "Do you remember making a public profession of faith?" She said, "Yes, I do." She said, and I said, "What did the pastor look like?" She said, "He was sort of a skinny fellow with black hair." And I said, "I was that skinny fellow with black hair." She said, the first thing she, before I got through, she said, did Butch and Jeannie ever get married?" And then I had the privilege of telling her that they had gotten married and that they both surrendered their life to the Lord. And they did go to, both graduated from Tennessee Temple. And I said, "He just finished. He's a pastor now in Mount Pleasant, Texas." And by the way, Frank was there. Butch was there last Sunday. And his wife went to heaven about a week and a half ago. And so you never know. We just need to be faithful to the Lord. Amen. And I trust that you'll be faithful. I trust that when you leave here, you walk by that track rack back there and pick up some gospel tracks. Kind of stick them in your pocket. If you ladies, put them in your purse. My wife keeps tracks, many tracks in her purse. And she gives them out, and I give them out because I have a pocket here. I hate it when I don't have a shirt that doesn't have a pocket on it. And I want to, because I want to always have gospel tracts ready to give to people, because I know that God can use them if I pray and ask His anointing on it. Amen? God help us to be faithful till He comes or calls. Now let's look at our prayer list, if you will, and thank you for those that watch by the means of the media, and God bless you.